Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. We are so grateful that you are here, and we hope you enjoy this message.
My name is Daniel Chastain, lead pastor here at the Bridge Church, and we're in a series called Table Talk. And last week, I was telling some of our volunteer team as we were talking about and praying, and just that last week, God just kind of reminded me every single day to say, hey, how are you giving somebody some fresh bread? Because last week we talked about that Jesus is the bread of life. And we need to hunger and thirst for His righteousness. And so this week, I just kept thinking about that. I felt like the Holy Spirit just kept bringing it to my mind, bringing it to my heart, and really even just a burden for my kids and the people I come in contact with every day is saying, hey, Daniel, you've got some fresh bread right there in your heart. Share that with somebody today. And so I don't know if it encouraged you, but it was encouraging me this week and just gave me so much purpose and hope during that time. And we talked about how that through Christ, if we get our relationship with Christ on the right page, where we're hungering and seeking after Him, then we can build off that relationship so that we can have healthier relationships in every aspect of our life. And we talked about how God wants us to experience an abundant life, a rich and satisfying life in our relationships around us. And that we talked about Ephesians chapter 3, how God is just speaking exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ask or imagine. And that's what we're believing for. And that's what we're leaning into and praying for over this entire series. We hope you enjoyed your time out in the lobby last week, just getting to know each other. We're doing that again today. Fresh questions out there. Don't be afraid of some of those questions. Some are as easy as iPhone or Android, which I already know. iPhone, right? Like, there it is. But maybe you're Android people. I don't know. Your battery may last longer. We'll see. But out there, you have conversations, but you also build a relationship. There's some questions to really get to know each other through that time. You can enjoy some snacks or M&Ms as well. So our prayer is that you would stay just about 10, 15 minutes after service, grab a table, meet somebody new, and just get to know one another, because we believe we're family here at the Bridge Church, and we want to invite you into that family and community, what God is doing. And so I want to pray for us, and we're going to jump in to week two. We're going to be in Luke chapter 6, verses 12 through 16. It may be a verse that you have heard before, or maybe you haven't, but I believe that God is going to speak this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, God, we just thank you so much. God, thank you for each and every person that's here today. Thank you for each and every person, God, that may hear this message online or later down the road. And God, I just pray that you just speak to our hearts. God, that sometimes we may have relationships in our lives that just can be hard. And I pray, God, that you can just guide us and direct us today. Give us wisdom. Give us discernment, God, of what steps to take. God, I just pray that you would speak in a mighty way, in a transformational way, God, that we walk out of this place with a truth that can change our lives. And not only do we walk out holding on to that truth, God, we start to apply that to our life. And we see you move like we have never seen you move before, God. I pray that we open our hearts, open our minds, and surrender to your will and your hope and your promise for our life, God. And I pray that I will decrease so that you may increase and we may see you more clearly. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said
amen.
Amen. I always love talking back and forth. So you guys know I ask some questions and you can answer back. You can raise your hand, whatever you'd like to do. But anybody in here is like, you know what? When I go to a place, and if there's a large, like, crowded area, crowded space, I'm avoiding that space. And whatever I can do, I don't feel like I can walk through that space. Maybe an airport. You walk through the airport and you're like, whoa, there's just too many people here. Or you walk onto the airplane and it is just too tight. Anybody claustrophobic? Like, yeah, like that's not me. Like, I can't do those kind of tight spaces in your life. I don't know what it is, but who's been to like an amusement park lately? I know some people have been to Disney lately, and you're walking through those areas, and I don't know if I'm just getting older or what, but I can't do roller coasters anymore. Anybody, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just get on there, I walk out, I can't move, I feel like I'm going to get sick for like 3 hours. I'm like, this is not fun anymore. And my kids love it. I'm trying to keep up with them, and I don't know if you like cross like an age threshold, you know, where it just all shifts, all starts to change. Some may call it going downhill. I don't know. But those amusement parks, and you get so crammed and tight in those spaces, you're trying to fight through. It's hot. You're sweating. You're like, don't touch me. Or that sweaty arm, right? And then it's like your kid's like, can you hold me? Can you hold me? You're like, no. It's 90 degrees, and there's a bunch of people around you. I can't do that. And I think about those crowded spaces and how it can make us feel sometimes. And I look at our life, and I look at what is around us. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I can get overwhelmed. I can look at the different relationships in my life and go, well, am I supposed to say this? Am I supposed to do this? Am I supposed to forgive them? Am I supposed to walk with them? Am I supposed to talk with this person? And now I'm starting a new job, and I got all these people in this area of my life. I got all these people in this area of my job. And I'm just not sure. I just feel like there's so many people that maybe I'm connecting with, or maybe that are close to me, or maybe that I'm around. And it just all of a sudden feels overwhelming. Like, how do I sort this out? How do I build strong and healthy relations? How do I know who is the right person at the right time for me in those moments? I don't know if you ever asked that question before. Or I don't know if you even thought about like the relationships I have in my life. Am I doing the right things to invest in them? Or maybe you have felt like, honestly, I just kind of feel like I'm on an island. I don't know if I have the relationships around me where maybe they are pouring into me, or maybe they're filling me up. And sometimes we can get on an island, or feel like we're on an island, feel like we're not having those healthy relationships where we experience that abundant life. And I believe that we can experience that in different seasons of our life, different moments of our life. And whether it is our fault, or that we have caused it, or maybe it's exterior circumstances, or maybe we're in a new season, a new time. I remember when my wife and I, we moved here about a year and a half ago, almost 2 years now, and it's like starting over fresh, starting over new. And it's like you look at your phone contacts, and you're like, wow, nobody lives here, right? Like, we got to start all over, and I got to connect with different people. And so I know what it feels like to almost be on an island and say, well, what is next? How do I take that next step? How do I experience this? What you're talking about, Dan? And I believe this is so incredible. And maybe you've never thought about this, but when Jesus came on this earth, He not only taught us so much, not only showed us He was God, not only guided and directed our lives, but He also gave us an example of how to live, gave us an example of how to open up His Word, and open up His Scripture, and be guided by what He did. And every step He took, every breath, every choice, every decision He made, we can look to that and go, how can I learn from what Jesus did? How can I experience what Jesus set up with His close followers, what Jesus set up with the people around Him? Because Jesus left heaven and came to earth, right? As a baby, I mean, He was in heaven. Beings were created just to circle Him and saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. I mean, He had this. I mean, He was there. Everybody's worshiping. He is the center of creation, right? He's the center of heaven. And in that moment, and yet He left that and came to earth as a vulnerable baby, grew up with a family, right? And He began to move into His ministry as He got older in His life, and in His 30s, He transitioned and really started doing miracles, and people started following Him. But right at the beginning of His ministry, Jesus does something that I know if you've even been to church one time, you've heard about Jesus and His disciples. But I think if we look back at the origin of when He stopped and said, these are the relationships that are going to help make it happen, we see some amazing truths that Jesus leans into and lives into, and some principles we can pull out to experience the abundant life that God has called us to. And so we're going to dive in here in Luke chapter 6, and this is where Jesus is stopping for a moment. Stopping in His life. He's starting to do incredible, life-altering, history-changing things on this planet. And right here at the beginning of that, He stops in Luke chapter 6. And this is what He does. It says, in these days, He went out to the mountain to pray. And all night, he continued in prayer to God. And when the day came, he called his disciples and chose them 12, whom he named apostles. Simon, who he named Peter, Andrew, his brother, James and John, which I love, sons of thunder, and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew and Thomas and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who is called the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Jesus steps back, Luke chapter 6, and he goes up and he says, in these days, Jesus would go up to the mountain and he began to pray. And what I find fascinating is that Jesus prayed all night. All night. About 12 a.m., I'm like, right? Like, I can't. Huh? But Jesus is up on that. He knows this is such a monumental moment in his life. The first thing he does is go to his Father in prayer and say, God, I need some wisdom. I need some direction. I'm about to make one of the biggest decisions, the biggest opportunities for not only my life to change, but to have a group of people around me that are literally going to change the world for you, Jesus. So he goes up to the mountain, he prays all night, begging and pleading before God. And I believe that you and I, as simple as it may sound, can start right there and saying, go to God and saying, God, what relationships are you bringing into my life? God, who are you calling me to? And then more important, this is one thing I've been honestly praying lately. God, who are you placing in my life who's going to get me to the next level? Who's going to get me that next step closer to Jesus? God, who, and then you may even step back and go, God, will you help bring somebody into my life? God, will you help direct me a divine appointment, put a name on my heart, or help me connect me with somebody who can help get me to that next spot? And we start with prayer, because I don't know about you, but when we pray to God, we experience this connection with Him, and we invite Him into our battle. We invite the all-powerful, all-knowing God who knows and connecting everyone to our table and allowing Him to work in our behalf, and we open our heart to Him and say, God, what's your direction in this? God, can you give me wisdom in this? Because sometimes we can be so hungry or even get to the point of, I'm so desperate for that relationship that, oh, you're coming? Yeah, you come sit at my table. Oh, yeah, you're here? I get some attention? Yeah, you come sit at my table. Oh, yeah, anybody, all right? Anybody. But Jesus does something so huge right here. He stops. And he prays to God. But then he comes down. It says that he has disciples. More than these 12. But amongst those disciples that he has, he says, hey, I want to select 12. I'm going to choose. He didn't get up and go, hey, we're looking for some apostles here, right? Like, he didn't go, hey, if you just raise your hand, fill this form out. And if you do, we're going to make some room for you, right? No, Jesus goes, nope, I got a list. I got a list from my Father. I feel good about it. I prayed about it. I know who they are. And he came down and he had their names and he goes, hey, Simon, right here, I want you. James, I want you. John, I want you. Judas, I want you. Judas Iscariot, I want you. He starts naming these people and brings them onto his team because Jesus had a dream in his heart. Jesus had a moment, a mission that he had and planned. And one thing I want us to get here is that we need a team for our dream, that you need a team for your dream. You may be thinking, well, I don't know about what this dream looks like in my life, but if we look about even in our marriages, say, hey, I have a dream for my marriage. Then God is saying, hey, I want you to have a team around you that's going to help you get to that point. And I have a dream for my relationship with my kids. I want you to have a team around you that's going to help you get to that point. And I have a dream in my career. God is saying, hey, I want you to have a team of people around you to help you to do that. He says, hey, I have a dream in my life to be connected to these certain people. And God is saying, hey, I want you to have the right people who are around you, not just anybody. The right people who are around you so that you can experience this abundant life, so you can have those people around you to experience Him in an incredible way. And so if we look back all the way back to even Genesis, when God creates Adam, He looks at Adam and He says, hey, it's not good for man to be what? Alone. He says, hey, I want somebody there with you, to walk with you, to help with you, to help you understand what this looks like. And Jesus calls His 12. And later down the road, we see that He literally calls them to a table, right? But yet He says, hey, I want Him to experience this life. And he says, I'm about to do something so huge, so incredible on this earth that I want you to join me. And he selects those people. And I'm here to say that God has placed something inside of your life, in your heart. Your life is so huge. It's so important. And I believe God wants to place the people in your life to help you get to that spot with Him, to help you grow closer to Him, to help you experience Him on a daily basis. Our mission is to connect people to Jesus daily. One of the biggest ways we can do that is to set ourselves up and have the right people at the table that are there to help and work with us in this. And so I just kind of want to break this down a little bit, okay? And I have a couple of guys are going to help me out. Jordan's going to come down and Jason's going to come down. I didn't do this on purpose, but they both have very manly beards, okay? I just shaved mine off, but I'm not feeling bad about it. They're going to sit down right here. And the reason, there's a couple of guys here. They're going to come down. You guys can pick a seat there. Maybe kind of tight. I'm sorry. But you look good. Everybody say, hey, Jordan. Yeah. This is Jason. Yeah. You look good, right? Real good. Okay. Need to work out some. So these guys right here, I picked these guys for a number of reasons, because I believe God's calling us to bring people to the table. And that a lot of times we may think about life and think about our relationships and we just begin to gravitate. Maybe, oh, this person has my same hobby, or this person works for me, or this person does this, right? And all of a sudden we look up one day and go, ooh, I got a lot of people around my table, right? I got a lot of people here, and a lot of voices, a lot of connections, and maybe we have a good time, and I step back and kind of evaluate my life and go, well, where am I trying to go? What direction am I trying to get to? And God is saying, hey, are the people who are, you can have many people at your table, but in fact, Jesus models for us, and he says, hey, the people who are closest to you. And this is what I think is big, is that, yes, God wants us to have a lot of people at the table that we can help influence, but God is saying, hey, there's only a number of people that we open ourselves up so that they influence us. Now, the table can be full of people, and we're just right here, fresh bread, I'm influence. We're saying, hey, God, but I want you to be intentional about the people who are closest to you. Because the people who are closest to you at the table, right, you can hear the best. Right? I mean, they're close to you. They're the ones who are speaking into your life. And in moments when life is going really good and really awesome, it may not seem as important, but I don't know about you, but when you experience something in your life that shakes everything, right? Like, it brings you all the way down to your foundation, and you're not even sure where to think, where to look, what decisions should I make, then you realize the voices that we have in our life, right? We realize that who is speaking into my life and into my heart. And I believe that Jesus is teaching us. He's saying, hey, there's a few spots that I want you to reserve for the right people who are headed in the same direction as you. And as Christ followers, that we have somebody who is a Christ follower. Maybe they're a little further down the road, or maybe they're just one step ahead, or maybe they are just people who have said, hey, you know what? I'm committed to being there for you in your life no matter what happens. I call them like 3 a.m. friends. You know, I believe, like, one of the reasons too is because these two are part of my guys. Like, they are reserved at my table. When things hit the fan, they're on my speed dial. Woo, Jason, hey man, this is it. Hey Jordan, right? There's a couple other people, but just knowing that these guys are there, I call them 3 a.m. friends, because I believe, honestly, I could be in Honduras at 3 a.m. and I call and go, hey Jason, here's my ping. I just really need you right now. Click, hang up. I honestly believe he'd be like, Christy, I got to go. Greg Jordan would be like, hey, I got to go. I need to buy a plane ticket. I can't explain. I don't know. But Daniel just called me and said he needs me there. But I believe we need those people in our life who are saying, you know what? I'm there with you. Like, I'm with you. I will invest in you, because I believe Jesus was that for his disciples. I believe Jesus was there. He believed in them. He breathed life into them. He spoke into them. And at the table is so beautiful, because we get to share meals with each other. That they're sharing meals with me, and I'm sharing meals with them. They're feeding me spiritually. I'm feeding them spiritually. And there's different people at the table for us to begin to pray and go, you know what? Who are some people that, one, are investing in me? That maybe I don't have to just think all of the time, hey, how can I help them get to the next step spiritually? But who's investing in my heart? Who's praying about my marriage? Who's asking me the hard questions about my marriage, my life, my circumstance? Who is at the table there for me? And here's the thing, a lot of times in that scenario, we have to give people permission to be that person. Say, hey, look, we've grown really close. That's why you got full permission. Like, you may use this terminology only if they go to the Bridge Church, right? But hey, you are reserved. You're my reserved person. You're at the table. You can ask me. You can, whatever it is. Or maybe you just need that person who's going to encourage you, who knows, like, whoa, I ain't seen them in 2 weeks. Hey, how you doing, bud? I just want to make sure you're okay. You're a person who you don't have to go, how can I invest in you? But I believe we also need people who we are just like at the table going, hey, how you doing? How's everything? Hey, I know you're not eating your food, right? Like, you know, I'm just doing that, but I noticed that this is going on in your life. How you doing? Can I be there for you? Because here's what will happen is that our table can get crowded, right? And especially with social media and everything, like information overload. And when situation and things happen, sometimes we'll be sitting here and the enemy, we give him a foothold, right? Sneak up in here, pull up a chair, and he's sitting down. It's like, hey, you're at the table by yourself, right? All alone. All your friends are gone. Nobody's going to help you. You're not going to make it. You are not enough. And all of a sudden, we start to hear the lies. But if we have people who are reserved, right? Especially if they're like Jason, you know, like, I'm just kidding. who can keep it? I'm just kidding. But people who are there going, look, God's still got a plan for you. No, God's still got a purpose in your pain. I know it may feel like maybe cloudy, your emotions are haywire, you don't even know what's up, the dust is everywhere, the fog you can't see, but just know, I'm here for you, and the God says that He will work all things out for the good of those who love Him, and they're just speaking that truth into you, and you're not real sure what to think or what to do, but the reserved people at the table in that circle are that for you. And God is saying, if you want to experience the abundant life in that, reserve some seats for those people and give them permission to be that person in your life. Give them permission to say, hey, can I speak this into you? Hey, can I call you? Can I be your person in that? Can you guys get up for Jordan Chase? They are just amazing. Good actors. Thanks, guys. What I love about them too is I'm like, hey, can I use you for an illustration on stage? And both of them said yes before I even said like what it was. So they're all in. I was like, all I got to do is go up there and just look good, okay? But I think this is huge. And I was telling our team that I spent a couple weeks praying about it. God, I just kept going back and forth. I kind of going, what's this next step? I believe God just kept bringing me back to this principle and this truth and this way of life because I believe it is transformational in our lives. Because having the right people. Now, I'm not saying don't start kicking people out of your table. Because I remember when I first came to know Christ, my table was full. And not everybody had the same direction as me. Now, all of a sudden, my motives had shifted to move towards Jesus. And I began to look at my table and go, wow, I got a lot of people who, that is not their plan, is to move closer to Jesus, right? And my table was so full, but all my circle were those people. And I didn't do this. God did this. I was a part of a really great church. But all of a sudden, these guys started coming up to me and going, hey, Daniel, I'm here for you if you need it. And I was like, ooh, sweet. So I grabbed him, right? And I said, hey, can you teach me? Can you develop? Can we work together? Can I ask you, just kind of call you, whatever happened in there? And all of a sudden, they moved in, right? And they had a reserved seat at the table. Because if we're not careful, we can get out of balance. And God is saying, hey, there may be other people. There were plenty of other disciples. But Jesus said, hey, there's 12 that I'm calling out. There's 12 I'm calling by name. There's 12 I'm going to spend intentional time with. There's 12 that I'm going to bring to in my craziest time in the Garden of Gethsemane, there's a few that are going to come with me. And they're going to pray with me. I'm going to have to wake them up sometimes, right? Like, there's going to be those, that circle that is there. And I believe it will be so life-changing for us. If we took today and began to pray and say, God, who do you want at my table? Who is at the reserved seats at my table? And maybe you'd grab like me or a couple other people who are plugged in at church and say, hey, will you start to pray with me? Because maybe we start to help make those connections for you and say, hey, look, here's somebody. Hey, here's how they can connect. They can be added to your table. They can walk with you. Or maybe you're here today and you're like, you know what? I've been praying about who I can start investing in and who I can open myself up to be a reserved seat at their table too. Because people are so hungry for that connection and for those relationships, because we need those people in our lives to help build and to walk with us. Proverbs 13:20 says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools. And this verse, Proverbs 13:20, it even shows us and says, hey, it's not all of the time that the fool suffers harm, but the companion of the fool suffers harm. And he's saying, hey, you can just have to even be in that company, right? Be in that presence to suffer that harm, to suffer that. But he's saying, but if you put the wise people around you, if you reserve some seats, just spread them out a little bit and go, hold on, I need to clear some space for those voices to speak into my life and into my heart. And I believe the longer we become Christians, the harder this gets. Right? The longer we become Christians, the easier it is for us to kind of just spread out and go, I can't do this, or I'm so busy, I'm doing this. And all of a sudden it's like, well, I don't really have a lot of people who maybe can speak into me. But I believe it is so important for us to go, you know what? Now, let me just reevaluate. Who's at my table right now? Who's speaking into me? And one of the things that we can know is that when we start to hear the lies in our head, do we have the people around us to redirect us to truth? And so when you get discouraged, when something happens and you start getting down or isolated or depressed or just feel those lies starting to weigh down and bury on top of our shoulders, do we have somebody going, you know what, I need to text them, just tell them to pray for me, I'm going through this. I believe that can help indicate and to show us to say, hey, let's reserve some seats at the table. And here's the beautiful thing. I love this series, Table Talk, because we are family. And if you feel like, hey, I need some help and direction to get some people at my seat, at my table, that's what we're here for, to walk together, to learn together, to grow together, to experience this abundant life together. Maybe you just got married, you're a young couple, and I'm like, hey, we got some people here who have been down that road who can invest in you. Or maybe you're like, hey, I got this going on with my kids right now. Hey, let me just connect you with somebody else who's going to be there, be a sounding board for you, to connect you to whatever you need in those moments. Or maybe you're in a new season, a fresh moment of life of now my kids are gone, or I'm starting a new season in my career. We need people at our table and at our seat to help us with that. And here's the thing too, is because sometimes, and have you noticed that in seasons of life, sometimes this looks different? And that sometimes whoever was at the seat, maybe in a reserved section, is no longer at the seat anymore. And it may be because you're in a new season of life. And I've even realized this, that sometimes God is trying to get you to another level. And he's saying, hey, I'm not saying that, hey, this person can't do that, but I want you to open up a seat for that next level person who's going to get you to that next level. Whether that be in leadership, whether that be in spiritual wisdom, whether that be in strength, whatever that is, God is saying, hey, and I want to make some room for that person in there, and that we may experience that and say, you know what, God, I trust you in it, and I believe you're calling me to this, and so I need those right people with me at the right time. I believe that once we get the right people in the right seats at our table, that God says, hey, now I want you to love them the way that I loved you. And I see this, and one of the things that spoke to me is, says, Jesus began to call out the apostles. And he says, Simon, who he named Peter. And I just think that's beautiful, because Jesus stops and he calls Peter out. He's like, hey, you're a fisherman, but now you're going to be a fisher of men. And you're actually like, you're going to be one of the huge centerpieces. You're going to be in my, not only the 12, but you're going to be in my select, like, three. Only you are going to experience some things. I'm going to invest in you, like, in just an incredible way. And we see Jesus and Peter have all these different conversations. At one point, Jesus calls him Satan. Like, right? Like, you're talking about accountability right there. He's like, oh, now you're talking like Satan. Like, this is the reason why I came. And Jesus, and then we see Peter step up and at Jesus' arrest, and he's ready to cut some dude's ear off because he's so passionate. He's like, you will not take my Jesus. And Jesus then goes and has all these conversations, and Peter even gets to the point where he denies Jesus 3 times. And I don't know him. I don't know him. But here's the beautiful thing. Jesus said, know what, Peter? I called you. You're the person at my table. I am there for you. And I just love this. If you look in, I'm not going to read it just for the sake of time, but John chapter 21. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Because now Peter has pretty much betrayed Jesus. He said, Jesus, I don't even know him. And Jesus has gone, Peter's gone back and he's saying, well, I felt like God was calling me to this dream, but now I've betrayed him, and so I guess I'll just go back fishing. Peter goes back and he's fishing out on the lake, and Jesus now has died on the cross, and 3 days later resurrected and showed us new life and hope and freedom. And then one morning, fresh morning, Peter is frustrated. He can't catch any fish. And I believe that Peter took a step back and he thought he left the table. He thought he left Jesus' close table. He thought he was alone. He isolated himself and it's like, you know what, I'm going back. I can't do it anymore. I'm not enough. Like, I just keep messing up. But what I love, John chapter 21, guess who shows up on the beach? All of a sudden, around the corner, here comes Jesus. Hey, Peter, how you doing? I see you're fishing, man. Yeah. Hey, what I love about Jesus, you know, like me as a dad, I think about, like, what are you doing? Everything I told you, yeah, you're fishing? Come on. Not Jesus. Jesus is going, hey guys, what y'all doing? Trying to catch some fish? Kind of hard on your own, huh? Yeah. He goes, hey, throw the net on the other side. And he blesses Peter. And he says, see, Peter? I'm here for you. I love you. Like, I want you to understand my grace is enough for you. And I love you so much. You're going to make mistakes. But Peter, you're reserved at my table. I'm here for you. Hey, you know what? You can run as far as you want to. Guess what? Jesus on the beach. Hey, Peter. How you doing? I'm here for you. I love you. What you need? Like, just come back to me. I will help you. Now, just not, Paul talks about this later. He says, oh, should we sin so grace abounds? He's going, no. Jesus is just trying to show us, hey, you can experience something so much different. Don't be isolated. Hey, Peter, you're my person. You're reserved at my seat. I love you. I'm here for you. And I believe that you and I can have those same relationships of life. But first, it starts with knowing that Jesus is there for you. He loves you. He wants to grow you. He wants to be there for you. And He is the most loyal person that you will ever experience. And we can always go back to God no matter what we have done, no matter what we have seen, no matter where we feel we are in life. We can always go back to Jesus, and He gives us that fresh bread, and He breathes truth and life into us. And He's going, Peter, no, 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 you're still called, man. You're still ready. You are still there. I love you. Do not feed into the lies. I have a plan and a purpose for your life. Let's get redirected. Let's talk about this. And he begins to talk. Jesus, we know, of course, goes back to heaven, and Peter goes and sets the world on fire for Jesus. And you know, I can bet that when Peter goes and he starts making disciples, I wonder how many times Peter showed back on the beach going, hey, how you doing? Look, I know you messed up, but look. Because he saw it from Jesus. He goes, hey, buddy, you're now at my table. You're now reserved for me. I'm here for you. I can just imagine the disciple that Peter's making. He's speaking truth, speaking life. He's saying, hey, you're not meant to walk this earth alone. I'm here for you. And Jesus gives us that model. And my prayer for us today, I kind of want to challenge us a little bit. It's saying in these moments, in these seasons, when we talk about our table, I want to challenge you to make the first move. Make the first step. And for you, that may look like I'm going, you know what, I need to start connecting with people at the Bridge Church. Or maybe, hey, I just need to have a conversation with Daniel or Jordan or Jason or somebody. I need to have a conversation with Chris who's singing. Like, I just need to have a conversation with somebody because I need to have some more people at my table. And it starts with that honest conversation of going, you know what, I'm ready for it, I need it in my life. And or maybe it's like, hey, I have some people who are investing in me, now it's time for me and to pour my cup out. And hey, if you have anybody that comes about, Daniel, like, hey, I'm there for them. I want to be there. I'm going to invest my life into them. I want to be there. I want to open up a seat at my table for them. Or maybe for you, you may be realizing that maybe you've left the seat open. And you've been believing some lies, that you're not enough, that you can't do it, you're all alone, nobody loves you, and you've allowed the enemy to pull up a seat at the table. I challenge you this morning as you go, you know what, I'm going to make a move towards Jesus, and I'm going to invite Jesus to be first and foremost and closest to me at the table. Today, no longer I'm going to believe those lies. I'm going to believe what Jesus is speaking into my life, into my heart. I'm going to begin to make some room for Jesus today. And that's my hope, is that Jesus saying, hey, I've already placed everything on the table. It's free and undeserved. We just have to reach out and accept His grace and saying, God, I believe that You died on the cross for me and that I want to start a relationship with You. I believe that on my own, God, I'm just turning away from You. I have sin in my life. I've got to give that to You. And I'm going to start a relationship with You first. You can start that today. And so in our heart, what is that first move for you? As we continue on this Table Talk series, continue to have this, we will invest into our lives. So let's pray together. God, we thank You so much. Thank You for loving us. God, I know I've been like Peter time and time again. Where You're trying to get me to head in one direction, God, and I feel like I have my own plan, my own direction, God, and I just pray that we will stop today and just realize how much You love us, Jesus. God, I pray that we turn around and we focus on Your love. God, because not just our love for others, but because You first loved us. God, I pray that You fill us with that truth today. That You love us, that You are asking us to surrender our life to You, to walk with You, God. God, I pray that You begin to speak to our life. And let us just step back and evaluate who is at our table. And maybe we need to make some room today. And God, I pray that You speak and put some names on a heart that maybe, hey, we need to bring some reserved seats, clear out some sections in that moment so that we can have the right people speaking into our lives, God. Maybe You're calling somebody in this room to the next level, another step of faith. God, and I just pray that they will have the courage and boldness to take that step, God. I pray that You will surround each and every person with the people who are going to walk with them, who encourage them, who are going to hold them accountable, who are going to walk with them, love them. God, I pray that You will bind the enemy right now in Jesus' name, God, who is the father of lies. And I pray that You will silence those in Jesus' name and fill our hearts with Your truth, God, with the Prince of Peace. I pray that You will guide us and direct us in everything that we do. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Let's stand and worship together.
hope you enjoyed this message today. Thank you for visiting us for this podcast. If you would like more information on The Bridge Church, please visit us at www.thebridgebluffton.com.